news I gained just yesterday dismayed all that I learned. The emptiness of life examined. Time can't be.
Well, hello out there, and welcome to another episode of Things I Learned While Learning Other Things. This is an attempt by me, Joe Morahan, and my brother J.S. to provide you with a series of interesting, informative, educational, and yeah, we do hope enjoyable stories that will help you navigate through those high seas of life. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. And for those of you who are out there still listening to these podcasts after 22 months, well, we owe you a hearty thanks. We also applaud your insane tolerance for our rantings. And number three, we pray you live otherwise good and satisfying lives. And we introduce today Utopia, the subject of Utopia we covered a few months ago. And we're entitling this Utopia, Give Us More. Well, Thomas More. And we've done our best, we really have, to enhance, enliven, and though this may be on our or your wildest imaginations, we've tried to engage you in some way so as to enrich your existence. Such an objective may prompt the query. Yeah? Well, who the hell do you think you are? And that really is a good question, to which our response can only be, we are nobodies. We're nowhere men, as John Lennon might say. We have no pretense that we might be in the even of the same species as Hans Bethe or Niels Bohr, Oppenheimer, Sigmund Freud, Dr. Feynman. Hell, we're not even Dr. Ruth. We're just a couple of humble guys offering some thoughts for consideration on one of America's 500,000 or so supposedly active podcasts. We might have few listeners, maybe, but we have a relatively extensive volume of inventory out there, which sets us apart from many of the others. Of the quality of those podcasts, that inventory, well, that's not for us to decide. That's for you to decide. You know, just talking about stuff, all kinds of stuff, we admit, but stuff nevertheless. And, you know, commenting on the nuttiness of man, though in doing so, perhaps we shine a brighter light, no doubt, on our own nuttiness rather than the protagonists of our many podcasts. But that is the risk that we are willing to run, willing to assume via these podcast offerings. Taking action is reputed to be the real measure of an intelligence. So we will operate as if the statement is true. So we act by podcast. You know what I mean? Well, sure you do. It is said the real geniuses of this world, physicists, whose foremost powers of insight and breakthrough, their most memorable ideas, their most significant work and work product is accomplished. It maxes out at the age of 27, maybe 28. That's a scary thought indeed, because A, that means that we are way, way beyond, way past our primes. But at least we know that to be true and operate as such. And B, those physicists, they understand as only they can. The intelligence of a person is almost instantly gauged by the brilliance apparent in the questions that they pose, which provides guys like us with two further insights. Number one, we've attempted to provide far too many answers. And two, we've asked far too penetrating questions via our podcast inventory. Yet, as far greater minds than ours have concluded, all life demands struggle, and that the pursuit of excellence demands a commitment to strive to do better. And so we carry on. We fight on as the USC Trojans do, admittedly in the face of very strong headwinds. And so it is that after, you know, a respite of sort, one lasting several months, we at long last return to the subject of utopia, which, if nothing else, we have tried to demonstrate. You know, history has shown to anybody paying attention, the concept of utopia should more accurately perhaps, be described as a dystopia. For whenever man claims to impose the formulaic conditions necessary to achieve a better, a more equitable, a more harmonious society, sprout some Jesus wings, will ya? As I was once told by a very stoned scuba dive instructor out at sea in the Cayman Islands. A very, very scary thought indeed. Sprout some Jesus wings. By which he meant, I think, that hearing such claims, a more perfect society was heading our way. We should consider this a siren call to head for the hills, get out of Dodge, run for your life. For there is a bad mood on the rise, if you will, as John Fogerty warned us. Bad stuff is on the way. And like all those, you know, stupid duck and cover drills that we had to repeatedly do in grade school. You know, the nuns would tell us, get under the desk, a nuke is headed our way. Oh my God. They are just not going to, be adequate to protect us from the harm that is sure to follow, that greater harmony is being structured and is on our way. And we, by the way, we have the proof of this nonsense. Coercing employees to take classes on implicit white bias, something I've talked about in the past, has taught us by former hairdressers, I am telling you, is not making America a more tolerant society, is it? What about Chairman Mao's cultural revolution? That didn't make China, to quote singer-songwriter Harry Chapin, a better place to be, did it? Unless the revolution, you could judge the revolution to be a total success if Chairman Mao, whom just adored all those precious young girls that were brought to him each night by staffers, unless the revolutionary objectives of Mao were to divert attention away from his massive failures, to get mobs of ignorant, easily led, mindless young people bred and raised to follow the will of the leader to beat to death a bunch, millions of older, educated people, progressives in the USA today, disdainfully refer to such educated old people, such as myself, as boomers, unworthy of respect. And this is interesting to me, of course, because these courageous, brave, young, intolerant American progressives, Generation Zs, and the Alphas to follow need trigger warnings. They need trigger warnings before exposure to any idea, concept, opinion, subject, or thought that they don't agree with or that might challenge their worldview. Any contra view is so disruptive to their mental health and well-being, it triggers their fragile dispositions to such an extent that afterwards they are so emotionally unbalanced and so distraught they are unable to think, to act, to work, or to carry on without experiencing fear, trauma, and exhibiting PTSD-like symptoms. These people need pet therapy dogs to become them prior to, you know, taking a test even in high school or, God forbid, at university. Or C, forced re-education classes didn't make Pol Pot's Kampuchea a kinder, gentler place to live, did it? With all those mountains of skulls of those whom didn't fit into the communist utopia that was being created in Kampuchea. Or how about D? How'd that Cuban experiment, you know, not with the Brothers Karamazov, but instead with the Brothers Castro and Che Guevara, that hero, how'd that work out for the average Cuban? Are you aware that 55% of Cubans today are still earning less than $234 a month? I'd say it didn't work out too well for the Cubans over the last 61 years. I mean, no matter what Michael Moore might claim. Of course, the same goes and went for that Russian Bolshevik heaven under Lenin and Stalin, you know, the utopia that Russia was, according to the New York Times and George Bernard Shaw. They all found it so wonderful. And what with the wonders of collectivization, the gulag system, and the Chika KGB torture chambers beneath the Kremlin. It was a fucking paradise. And who'd have guessed? And what about Hugo Chavez's dream society, a utopia that, you know, was going to perform miracles in Venezuela? You know, one question. How does one have gasoline shortages in a country literally drowning in oil, a country containing the world's largest supply of proven oil reserves? Hugo and his successor, Nicolas Maduro, did the impossible, it would seem. They destroyed a nation thoroughly marred by hyperinflation, escalating starvation, product shortages, disease, increased crime and mortality rates. I mean, it resulted in the total destruction of the country, massive suffering, and subsequent titanic emigration from the country. I mean, geez, you'd think that Venezuela was masquerading as Robert Mugabe's Zimbabwe. Mugabe and his Wovitz promised a new dawn for the people of Zimbabwe. And I don't know anything about that rising sun thing that Mugabe promised, but I do know he did bring down the curtain upon modern life in Zimbabwe, where the $4 trillion Zim note that I keep in my desk as a treasure, an absolute treasure that I brought back from my last visit to Vic Falls, is now worth that $4 trillion Zim note less than 1/1,000th of 1 cent right now. Zimbabwe, no utopia, but definitely a dystopia. Really a miracle of kleptocracy, idiocy, and incompetence. I will say that. And again, we trick onwards. You know, claims for and reported dreams of utopia should bring to mind The Lord of the Flies, Kafka's The Trial, Huxley's Brave New World, 1984, Fahrenheit 451, Cormac McCarthy's post-apocalyptic The Road. Such are the states of societal perfection at which we arrive whenever we hear more harmony, more equity, peace, love. But as often been said, dreams die hard. So let us go back in time at long last. Let's go back 508 years. Why not? It seems like a good way to conclude our series on utopia with a series about Thomas More's utopia. Let's end it all with a bang, shall we? Because 508 years ago, in 1516, Thomas More, canonized by the Catholic Church, by the way, by Pope Pius XI in 1935, and not to be confused with Pope Pius, say, the 12th, often referred to, you know, derogatorily as the Nazi Pope, what with all the accommodations made by the church to the Nazis and the rat lines and all that. But, and that's a story for another day. Anyway, Thomas More is a canonized saint, revered by Roman Catholics worldwide. Presumably, St. Thomas More now resides with that little fraudster, Mother Teresa, in that otherworldly paradise, the utopia known to the Catholic Church everywhere as heaven. Beyond that presumptive residence inside the pearly gates of heaven, it is a fact that while a resident of Henry VIII's Tudor England, St. Thomas More wrote a book that he entitled Utopia, and he wrote this in 1516. A dream state, if you will, of which he provided us, thankfully, with a great deal of detail as to just how that perfect society might be organized, structured, and operated. And he defined in precise, you know, detail the organizational problems to be overcome, the mechanics, the mores, the practices, societal norms, and the expectations by which the people of utopia might thrive. Oh, it must have been a wonderful place. We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto, said Dorothy, speaking of Oz. And Oz may or may not have been utopia. But St. Thomas More's utopia? Well, there were some shortcomings, that was for sure. And of course, as you might suspect by now, I am about to relate what a perfect society might look like when conceived by a canonized saint. Remember, though, never forget to sprout those Jesus wings. And on that note, we shall end Utopia. Give us more, Thomas More. Hey, thanks for listening, and we shall return, like Douglas MacArthur said. Bye-bye.
Change, become a new man. I promise I will, and I know that I can. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? The sea is now boiling and I'm getting cold. I've lost my sails, got to find a way home. Alone in my boat, I think lost in a drift on the high seas of life. save me in this fate lends a hand. Storm it is worse than I have no control. The wind and the waves are taking their toll. I look to the stars, there's none I can see. I'm afraid fate, she has answered me. Only moments my story will end. There was a story I wanted to send. Oh, how I dream for the calm of the sea. A beautiful face smiling back at me. The sea is boiling and I'm getting cold. I've lost my sails, got to find a way home. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the high seas of life. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the high seas.